Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back with you.
Boy, I think we're in the middle of doing a really powerful series about the cross.
Yes, we are.
And I hope you've been listening. If not, you can go to the website at giftofgraceministries.org. And you can hear the last however many shows it was.
I think five. This is our sixth.
Five or six.
Five. Series. Yeah.
Yeah. And they kind of build on each other, but they also stand alone. So if you want to go back and also started putting out some podcasts about this as well, which we might talk about a little bit later. But at the end of last show, we were talking about the end of we were at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. About how God had chosen foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
Right.
And that there was, that this was done so that no flesh could glory in his presence. And interestingly, you know, he also says that the message is spread by the foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about that. And, you know, it's interesting because Paul's doing most of the preaching, but, you know, he refers to himself as, you know, foolishness of preaching because... You know, there's, it's kind of foolish when you look at it from a non-believer's point of view on a couple of different levels, because first of all, the message is hard to believe. Right. The message is seems foolish because, and we can look at it in terms of educated, intelligent people in our time who are very sophisticated and, you know, very learned. And you tell them the message of the cross, and they say, "Man, that's nuts!
Yeah.
Like, how can you guys? You guys are like really too hepped up about this, and it's really kind of silly, don't you think?" And secondly, the fact that the preacher who's preaching this message is also a sinner, as we all are.
Right.
And then you know you may get to a point where somebody says, "Yeah, you know, you may, you know, you're talking this stuff, but you know, I've heard some of the things you say, and I've seen some of the things you do. You're not." You're not any holier than I am, and you're not in any better shape than I am. And then you can answer, you're right.
Exactly.
and we talked about how we're imperfect messengers with the perfect message.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a lot of good points there because a lot of people think that to deliver the message that God wants you to give or that God's given you, that you have to be perfect. You have to be holy.
Yeah.
And you can't.
Yeah.
You have to be without blemish.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one person that was without blemish, and that was Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
The rest of us are broken, fallen humans that sin.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get things right, sometimes we get things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as I, you know, as I pointed out last, I think it was last show, that, you know, we have to deliver the message that God gives to us in the manner that we receive it and not let our emotions and our... You know, those types of things get away.
Right.
But to the non-believer, and even to some believers, if we don't understand the depth of God's love for us and the depth of the person that we're talking to, the depth of God's love for the person we're talking to, you know, you can get off on all different tangents of, well, yeah, I saw them doing that the other day. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, well, yeah, I remember when he said this.
Yeah, I saw him yelling at that guy at the store.
You did? Oh, I mean, no, I'm only joking. And, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, the, you know, the Spirit of the Lord, when the Spirit takes possession of us, we should bear the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should have a well-tempered and trained tongue.
Yes.
And we should be patient and kind.
Yes.
And there are times where, as, you know, as... some believers do, we lose our patience, we lose a temper, and, you know, we fall.
Yeah.
And we got to go back to the Lord, go back to the cross and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, and try and make reconciliation with that person, because that's what the cross is all about. It's about reconciling all of humanity.
Yes.
All of God's creation back to himself.
Right. Exactly. That, and that's the key. I mean, you bring up the key.
Mm-hmm.
you know, mankind is reconciled to God through the cross.
Right.
And we need to be reconciled to each other because we believe in the cross and because we're followers of Jesus, the Messiah. So that's an excellent point. And so these things are foolishness, and there's not, I mean, Paul was a really intelligent guy, but there's not really that many intelligent, wise people that were preaching the gospel at the beginning. I mean, we won't get into that, but Jesus chose, you know, a few fishermen, a few guys that were, you know, working hard. They were making a living.
Right.
Said, well, come with me and, you know, you're going to be fishers of men. And, oh, by the way, you're going to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And
yeah,
I'm like, okay, sounds good. Let's go. But, you know, he didn't pick wise people. He didn't pick learned people. They weren't eloquent people. They didn't have, now Paul did, but the rest of them didn't have the education and the eloquence that some of the Pharisees would have had, that all of the Pharisees would have had. They didn't wear all the cool robes and all the holy clothes that the Pharisees would have worn.
Right.
I mean, they were just ordinary guys. And they showed up someplace and told people the message of the gospel. And just like I'm sure has happened in your experience and has happened in our experience, some people say, ah, you guys are full of it. I don't want to even hear this. Some people say, wow, that's really awesome. Tell me more.
Right.
And some people say, I don't know. I'll think about it, but whatever. And
yeah,
you know, just like the parable of the sower. And
right.
But these guys went and the point of the matter is, as Paul says, is there's no room to boast because the message is not about the messenger. The message is its own power, has its own power, has its own glory, has its own everything. The messenger, it's not about the messenger. Like when we witness to someone, when we try to evangelize someone or a group of people, it's not about us. It isn't so that we can look good and somebody can say, wow, that guy really knows how to evangelize. The important thing is the message.
Right.
And in verse 28 there at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's this happens because the cross is the basis of the message. The person speaking, it's not the basis of the message. You know, when you say my faith is based on, you know, Pastor so-and-so or Father so-and-so or, you know, the guy who's on TV at 10:30 every night.
You watch him too?
Yeah.
No, I watch him.
Yeah. And if that's what your faith is based on, then you got some problems.
Exactly.
Because you can't base it on a person.
Well, because as soon as that person falls.
Yes. Or dies.
Or dies. We're, you know, now who do you follow?
Yes.
Are you really following the message? Are you really following the message of the Messiah?
Yes.
Or are you following the person who's preaching it?
That's right. And the word speaks for itself. The word has the power, has its own power.
Right.
All we have to do is proclaim the word. We don't have the power. You know, when someone listens to you and is convicted of their sin and repents and is converted, it's not because of you. I mean, you're an instrument at that moment to let that happen.
Right.
But you're just giving the message. You're just throwing the seed.
Right. And it is easy for the messenger to think, wow, they repented of their sins because of what I said.
I'm pretty good.
I'm pretty good at this. There was a gentleman who was given a talk one time, and he was in the midst of this renewal that was happening in this church. And he was talking to one of the elders in the church, and he goes, man, there's so much happening here. This is just tremendous. And the gentleman said, well, you know, we've been praying for this for 40 years. And he said, we need to be careful that we don't get caught up into when there's a movement of God that we think we're the reason for it.
Exactly.
Because we're not. It's the movement of God. And, you know, something else you were talking about is that the messenger, you know, we give the message, we're imperfect vessels. And whenever somebody focuses on the messenger and not the message, you can almost guarantee that that is not from the Lord.
Yes.
That is from the devil.
Yes.
Because it will cause division and it will cause a lot of chaos in a ministry or in a conference or in a whatever ministry you're in, whatever setting you're in. Somebody starts talking about the messenger. stop them. You know, they need to repent of that mm-hmm. and get back on track on the message, which is salvation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And this was Paul's point here in this last passage, is that the cross is the basis of the message. And, you know, this is where salvation is. And the foolishness part of it is, and we are believers and we understand it, although we don't have a full in-depth understanding of it, because right. nobody does. Because if you really think about what happened and why it happened, you would be speechless for probably a week, because it's very difficult to mentally process how and why this actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, God saves us from what we truly justly deserve.
Exactly.
And, you know, I know there's people that, have had visions of, you know, they may have died and they come back and they mm-hmm. say they saw heaven or they mm-hmm. saw hell. Mm-hmm. And the ones who, you know, have said that they've seen hell, it's just terrible. It's awful. And they said, you wouldn't even wish that on your worst enemy.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. And when, you know, when we look upon the cross, and if you think about Jesus stretching his arms out, you know, he laid down his life willingly. And he died for me. He died for you. He died for each individual person. How can you love God, but yet hold a grievance against someone who the Lord laid his life down for?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's the hard thing as Christians, is that we're called to love that person, even if they're an enemy,
mm-hmm.
with the same love that Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what's demanded of us. I can love them no less than what Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what's demanded of us.
Yes.
And that's really difficult.
It's a hard part of the message.
It's a hard part of the message, but it's a reality of, you know, if we really want to be a disciple of the Lord, wow. Okay. I'm having a disagreement with this person, or we've been not communicating with mm-hmm. this person for months or mm-hmm. even years.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to the cross, you've really got to ask yourself,
yeah.
how can I hold on to what I'm holding on to against this person when the Lord laid his life down for
exactly.
this person?
Exactly.
And that's the power of the message. Yes,
that's right. And as we said before from the book of Romans, it was while we were still sinners, he did this.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, while we were still his enemies,
yes.
he did this.
Yeah.
Because when you live a life of sin, you've transgressed the law, you're his enemy, you stand in condemnation, but he died for you then.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't wait for everybody to become holy and then did it.
Yeah.
And so that's a very important point you bring up. That's an
yeah.
important lesson for us
mm-hmm.
because our human nature is such that I don't like that guy. I never liked that guy. And you know what he said to me? And I'm going to take care of that.
Because mm-hmm.
that's what we want to do.
That's what we want to do. That's our sin nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you have to, you know, you all admit, everyone has to admit that they do that. Now, some people are good at controlling it. Some people aren't so good at controlling it.
That is true.
Yeah. And this is why in that last verse in that chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you know, that no flesh can glory in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have anything to boast about. We don't go there and say, hey, I preach the gospel everywhere, so therefore I am really awesome. We can't do that. We can't say that. Because the cross is the message. And when we talk about people thinking it's foolishness, we believe this and we understand this and we know that it's all true. But when you look at what actually happened there, Jesus is the blessed one, capital B, capital O. He's the blessed one. He becomes cursed.
Mm-hmm.
We're the cursed ones and we become blessed, little
right.
b.
Right.
So the blessed one becomes cursed. The cursed ones become blessed because of it.
Yeah.
You know, we talked before about how, you know, a dead man can't help himself and
you're right.
can't decide to not be dead anymore and, you know, can't get up and say, I think I'll go get something to eat.
Right.
I think I'll take a nap. Oh, no, I'm dead. Wait a minute. I can't. But, you know, we live now because one, capital O, died. Mm-hmm. Because through his death, we get our life. We get resurrected from the state of being dead in sin, mm-hmm. being dead in our transgressions.
Right.
So because he died, we get to live. And we're justified by one who was condemned, one capital O.
Exactly.
So he's an innocent man who gets condemned and dies so that we become justified and we can live.
That's the good news.
That's the good news.
That is the good news.
And this is something that, you know, you really have to think about. And again, we have to say, if you never heard this kind of talk before, you really got to think about what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're there living in your human flesh and you have weakness and you have corruption and,
right,
you know, you're dead in your sins. And
yeah, you know, as you're talking about this, it's a journey, you know, it's a process that we as believers, any believer, mm-hmm. whether you've believed in the Lord for a minute, you know, whether you just gave your life to the Lord over this past minute, you've been walking with the Lord for a year, you've been walking with the Lord for 10 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have to avail ourselves to the grace of God and cooperate with how the Holy Spirit wants to transform our lives. And, you know, the blood of the Lamb makes all things new.
Mm-hmm.
But that transformational process, I was talking to somebody about healings, and, you know, their healings usually take a period of time. You know, my wife was healed with multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
Took us 4 months to realize what was happening. You know, she wasn't as tired. She wasn't as fatigued. Started having more energy. And then mm-hmm. we started noticing that. A miracle is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lay hands on somebody, they can't walk, boom, they're up and walking, the crutches are on the floor, and you know, and they're dancing around. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
But most healings that take place happen over a period of time. And there's usually things that the Lord wants to show the person or teach the person through that process. Mm-hmm. You know, for my wife and I, it was that our spiritual rebirth, our spiritual healing that was taking place, the Lord showed us that was far more greater than the physical healing that she received.
Mm-hmm.
The physical healing was very much well received.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But one of the first passages that we read was the story of the 10 lepers.
Mm-hmm.
And when one comes back and Jesus says, did not one but this... only this foreigner come back to give glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, here, my wife and I, you know, we're both Gentiles, and we think, wow, we're two foreigners giving glory to God for the miracle that he did. So, or the healing that he did. And I bring that up because it's a process of, you know, our mind is renewed. Our whole being is renewed as we put on Christ, as we read the word of God, as we nourish our souls with God's word and come before the cross and just ask the Lord, Lord, you know, show me my heart. You know, if you're struggling with something and you've got strife in your life, go before the Lord and just ask him to show you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to teach me? Many times when there's something happening in my life and I'm fighting against it, I usually come to a place of going, oh, I didn't ask the Lord this question. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me?
Mm.
And always I get an answer.
Mm. That's awesome.
So it's a transformational process that takes place.
Well, that's an excellent point.
Marty gets us here. Oh, goody.
He's been on this show twice.
Yes.
Remember, go to giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute. Let's listen to Marty.
Visit him, oh Lord, our Lord. excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how excellent is your name. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, how is your name in all of the earth. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name given so freely for us to claim, the name of Jesus.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The World 12, Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, that is.
Whew. That Marty Getz really has been song. On this show twice.
That's what you were
yes.
saying.
Yeah, you've been here, too, when he's been
I know.
Yeah, next time he comes to town, because his mother lives here in yeah. Beechwood, we need to have him on the show again.
How many times has Paul been on the show?
Once.
Once? Wow. Once. What about Joel?
Almost one.
Just to keep in score. Here.
That's a source.
In case anybody's keeping score.
Speaking of Christian forgiveness. Anyway,
yes.
That's just a joke. We love Joel. But, you know, it's because human flesh has weakness and corruption, you know, we can't do anything to redeem ourselves.
Right.
And as that song, you know, points out, you know, whose man that you're mindful of him.
Yeah.
Psalm 8, you know, whose man that you're mindful of. You know, when you look at all the things that are in creation, yeah, we're just like these little weak beings that are kind of putzing along on one little planet.
And he cares for us so much.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That he puts his whole plan of salvation into effect. And you know, we talked back in a little bit farther back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 17, we talked about how, you know, Paul says it's not about wisdom or else the cross would have no effect. You know,
right.
Paul didn't preach with wisdom of words. Mm-hmm. You know, the Greeks and, you know, Corinth, of course, was in Greece. The Greeks were used to intellectual conversation and debate and oratory, and they had all these different schools of philosophy, and they're really pretty interesting. And they used to like to sit, you know, and talk about all different ideas, and somehow they made a living doing that. I don't know who paid them to do it, but
wow.
Or somebody bought them lunch every day so they didn't starve to death, but they made their living being philosophers. And they were used to this very intellectual thing. And when, you know, in Acts chapter 17, when Paul's on the Areopagus or Mars Hill, he encounters these philosophers and does a teaching based on something that he sees there, the unknown God.
Right.
And they go, well, you know, what is this babbler trying to say? Because, you know, here's this weird looking guy who's going on and on about something, and we're wearing all these cool togas and we're talking about serious stuff here. And they say, well, okay, thanks for telling us, but we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
Then like they probably walked away going, oh, brother.
Yeah.
Where's this guy? But, you know, the truth he was proclaiming was the quote unquote foolishness of the cross. Because he said, you know, the cross is foolishness to these guys that are perishing. Mm-hmm. He didn't argue with them and try to persuade them. He didn't get into an intellectual debate. He was a very learned guy. He was very intelligent, very intellectual. But he lays that aside and just preaches the gospel. Mm-hmm. He says, all I preach is the cross. All I preach is Christ and Christ crucified. So he preaches that in plain language, not in intellectual language. He preaches it in a way that people listening to him can understand that this is the only way to salvation, and that this Jesus was, in fact, the Son of God, and people had to come to him and repent. And as we've said many times here on the show, this is so different than Paul's background.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a law guy. He was a Pharisee guy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's saying, look, you got to come to Jesus. You got to come to the cross. You got to repent. And this is the only way you can be saved.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was preaching the main message that Jesus told his disciples, that forgiveness would be preached in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm, to the ends of the earth.
Yes.
And Paul understood that. And, you know, and you mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 17, you know, at the end of it, it says, you know, but to preach the gospel, you know, I was sent to preach the gospel, not to baptize, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the cross in itself has tremendous meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything. It's everything in the redemption of mankind, of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God doesn't rejoice in the destruction of his creation.
Right.
In the destruction of his beings that he's created. And, you know, when you look upon the cross, you know, you either see a defeated man, where you see the victory of salvation.
Mm, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
There's really no in between there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gosh, I don't know what that is, you know, okay.
Yeah.
Either you, when you come to the cross, either God's going to give you the grace to say, my Lord and my God, you know, I'm sorry for my sins, save me,
mm-hmm,
like the one thief on one side did, or you're going to be like the other thief and go, hey, come on, I deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that goes back to what he says about it's foolishness to those that are perishing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at Jesus on the cross, you say, here's a defeated guy, must be a criminal because they're executing him.
Right.
I mean, he looks pathetic. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't even look like himself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dead already, or he's going to be dead in a few minutes.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
And, you know, you've brought this up before about what a crucifixion really was.
Mm-hmm.
It was for a criminal.
Yeah.
It was for somebody, it wasn't for a Roman citizen, mm-hmm. but it was for someone who broke the law.
Yes.
And I think in most, probably in most circumstances within Christianity, we can tend to lose that understanding that this death was for a criminal.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Exactly. What the cross represented in the time of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, you broke the Roman law, you were executed, and you were publicly humiliated yes. in that execution.
Right. It was always public. It was always done publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was crucified in a basement somewhere and nobody would see it.
Right.
Because they made an example mm-hmm. of that person. And when you see a criminal on a cross, I mean, people might have walked by a cross with a guy on it dying who they knew was a murderer or had tried to, you know, kill the Roman governor or had started some insurrection or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, well, you know, he deserves that. That's yeah. what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walked by that day and Jesus was dying on the cross, they said, well, I don't know who that guy is, but I'm sure he deserves it or else they wouldn't have done this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the foolishness of it is that this is the blessed one, the just one, the holy one mm-hmm. who's dying in the place of condemned people.
Right.
Namely, us.
Yeah.
And Paul does this beautifully in a way that doesn't involve the wisdom that he has. He just presents the message. Because the truth, capital T, doesn't need help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't need help.
Right.
I mean, he needs us to be his agents. But the word itself doesn't need help. It's more powerful than anything you as a human being can outline and present and... You know, you can make a really awesome PowerPoint, or you can make a really awesome lecture. You could make a really awesome list of ideas.
Right.
And people may say, I don't believe any of that. Because the power of the cross, the power of the Spirit, goes way above that. And then Paul also didn't want to call attention to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't want his oratory or his debating skills to be the issue.
Yeah.
He wanted the message to be the issue. And this is why he takes pains in saying he didn't come to baptize people. Because then he becomes the center of attention if he's baptizing people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's 50 people baptized by Paul one Sunday afternoon, those guys walk around going, hey, I got baptized by Paul.
Yeah.
You got baptized by some schmuck nobody knows. I got baptized by Paul. And then that becomes a cause of boasting and flesh glorying in God's presence. And Paul doesn't want that. He wants the cross to be the center. Remember, he says he only preaches Christ to Christ crucified. This is what he cares about. Because that's the message of salvation, not the fact that Paul's giving the message.
Right. Yeah. There's just so much that's there, because in his own understanding of the law, in his education, Paul could have presented tremendous, yeah. Eloquent arguments of why this is important,
mm-hmm.
but he lets the cross speak for itself.
Yes.
And, you know, that really, that takes a total transformation of someone of his stature and learnedness
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to be able to do that.
Yes.
To say, I'm nothing,
mm-hmm.
but the cross is everything.
That's right. And this is totally different than he was before when he was Saul the Pharisee.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because he was the one that stood and held the coats, the cloaks yep. of the people while they stoned Stephen.
That's right.
He was going around rounding up believers.
Exactly.
And imprisoning them.
And he was transformed. You know, those of you listening who are believers understand what we're talking about, because maybe you weren't holding coats of somebody who was killing a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but you were doing other stuff.
Yeah.
All of us were doing other stuff. We were holding coats for something else. But now, because of the message, we've been transformed. Paul got transformed in a, you know, kind of a special way, but, you know, it's not yeah. sort of the ordinary way. But now you see the extent of his transformation. I mean, if you would have worked with Paul in the temple, you know, say 5 years before this, and then you would happen to have been in Corinth or somewhere where he was preaching, you'd say, man, is that the same guy?
Yes. Yeah, you would have.
You wouldn't have believed it.
Well, I think anybody that has seen a transformation in any individual when they come to the Lord, and they haven't, like if somebody knew me before I was born again, and now they see me now, they'd probably be like, that's the same person? What happened? Yeah. What happened to you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That happened to me one time when I was going to a prayer group, and somebody who used to know me said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here for the prayer group. And she said, you? And I said, yeah. Just couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And the amazing thing is you don't get adversarial with the person because because the love of Christ controls your heart, and you're just like, I'm here to worship the Lord and to praise with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm not here to hold these guys' cloaks while they kill you.
And it is. It's, they're like, wow. That speaks to the transforming nature of the power of the cross and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I know that, as Paul was preaching there, you know, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says...
Yeah, why don't you read that? Why don't you read like 1 through 5? That's good.
Yeah. You know, the first chapter ends with, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. Then he says, when I came to you, brothers, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with sublimity of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not with persuasive wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God.
He doesn't want any other knowledge. He doesn't want to know anything else, just Christ and Christ crucified. Because Christ is the sum and the substance of everything. So this is all I have to know. I used to be Saul of Tarsus, and I used to be a really important Pharisee, and I used to know all the law, and I had all the zeal for the law. Nobody else was as zealous for the law as I was, he's going to say in Galatians later.
Right.
But he says, now I just want to know Christ and Christ crucified. He's the sum and substance of everything. You know, the law was good while I was doing it, but now I don't do that anymore because I have the sum and the substance. I understand those things were types and shadows and foreshadowings, but now I've got the substance. Mm-hmm. And my mission is to bring people to the cross. And so this is really all I want to talk about. If you guys want to talk about some theological stuff, if you want to talk about how the prophets foreshadowed this, you know, maybe we can do that at the next home group or something. But right now, we're going to talk only about the cross.
Yeah.
And Paul would have been in a perfect position to explain the whole Tanakh to them.
Right.
But he says, I just want to talk about the cross. He had a tremendous amount of knowledge, but I just want to talk about the cross. And people probably said, dude, you got to lighten up. You got to talk about, can you talk about something else today? Nope. Yeah. I can talk about the cross. I just talk about the cross. And I don't want to teach the stuff that was coming before. Because now, this is a radical idea, what I'm saying. I understand this is radical, but this is what I have to do. And we're really in the same position that he was. Because when we talk this way now, this is radical talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people will actually say, you know, this is crazy talk. You know, I tell people, when you leave here, if you think I'm crazy, I don't care. It's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to proclaim a radical idea that people are going to look at you and go, whoa, man, you know, that's kind of nuts what you're saying, don't you think? And Paul knew that.
Yeah.
He knew people were saying that, but he had to preach that gospel, and we have to do it too. And we have to keep in mind that it's foolishness to those that are perishing.
And, you know, it's for as much as, you know, we're talking about Paul wanting to just preach Christ and him crucified, he wrote a lot of instruction for the early the early believers, for the early church, and for the church today. He wrote so much that all revolves around Christ and Him crucified, the cross, and love. The core element, the core message of the gospel. You know, he wrote to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, to the Galatians, you know, just so much, Romans, that for someone who just wanted to preach Christ and Him crucified, he talked about a lot. he really did talk about a lot.
Yeah.
But it's all so, in that sense, it is all it is so eloquently placed together by the grace of God.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's a radical idea.
Yeah, and the main focus of all of it is the cross.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
and that's all he wants to preach. Ooh, this is good too.
Paul's here today too.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. I will be back in just a minute.
I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship You only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship You. I worship I worship You.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yeah. Paul and Marty in the same show.
Same show. Yeah. It's hard to get those two guys. You know, it's always hard to get those two guys in the same place. Anyway, but Paul, another thing about this passage that you just read, Steve, is when he talks about he didn't come with excellent speech, you know, he didn't come with debating skills and with reason. It says he was actually fearful while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was fearful.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't his power that he was using. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 10:10, it says that people in Corinth said that Paul's presence was weak and his voice was contemptible. So in other words, he was kind of like this weird looking dude with an annoying voice. But, you know, they weren't converted because of how he looked or what his voice sounded like. They were converted by the message.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that the Spirit is working through him, because the Spirit works through us to accomplish his purposes despite all our weaknesses. And it says, too, that signs and wonders happened. You know, it says, I didn't come with persuasive words, but the demonstration of the Spirit, capital S, and of power. So, you know, signs and wonders must have happened.
Yeah.
And these people's faith in Corinth didn't stand on the wisdom of men. It didn't stand on how Paul looked, you know, what kind of suit he was wearing. You know, was he wearing a Brooks Brothers suit or was he wearing a suit he bought at Sears?
Yeah.
They didn't care. And they didn't care if his voice was annoying or if his voice was really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit working through him
converted
these people. And signs and wonders happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think sometimes, like, you can have very, very intelligent theologians that really are very learned,
mm-hmm.
but they can't explain the gospel to somebody.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and Paul did.
And, you know, not everybody has the gift of teaching.
Right.
Not everybody has, God hasn't called everyone to that type of a ministry, you know, and Paul relied on the power of God to do this.
That's right. Exactly.
He emptied himself. You know, he says, when I observed the law or when I did the law, I died to the law to live for God. Now Christ is living in me.
Yeah.
And my life is not my own, but I serve him, you know, essentially I'm serving the Lord because he's living in me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've died to Christ so that I can live for Christ.
Yeah. That's an excellent point, because if he's preaching just the cross and Christ crucified, then we know what's converting people is divine action.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's the Spirit that's converting people and it's not him.
Yeah.
And,
or his eloquent words, or
exactly. Yeah. I mean, the Greeks had learned all kind of different systems of philosophy, and that's not what he used.
Mm-hmm.
He knew a tremendous amount of intellectual knowledge from his education and his training, but that's not what he used. All he did was preach Christ and Christ crucified. And in order to study those philosophies and study the law, you know, they had to actually study these things and listen to teachers. He just preached the gospel. And people were converted, because the message of the cross is only understood by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a divine gift. It's a gift from the Spirit to say, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. You know, if we read further on in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, excuse me, he says, yet we do speak a wisdom to those who are mature, but not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Satan didn't get.
Yeah.
So, you know, and even when Peter makes his great profession of faith at Caesarea Philippi, you know, Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you.
Right.
You know, right. He says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He says, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You know, this can't be deduced mathematically or logically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a philosophical thing.
Right.
So all of a sudden, Peter gets this enlightenment that this is the Son of God, that this is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's pretty amazing.
I mean, it's the same thing. You know, you can study scripture, you can look over commentaries, and that's not a bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you know this as well as I do, there's times where I'm reading scripture and I may look at a commentary, but the Lord shows me something that's not there.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know that it's true.
Right.
You know, he shows you something of the depth of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's there.
Yes. And if you're doing it somewhere as a teaching, sometimes it comes to you while you're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And you stop and go, whoa. I didn't realize that till just now.
I mean, you know, that's the amazing thing. There were things that, like, when I would do a number of teachings years ago, when my wife and I were first baptized in the Holy Spirit, there were things that I would talk about that I would later then go back in scripture and go, that's where that's at.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord gave it to me,
yeah,
not knowing that that was actually where it was at in scripture, and really not even having read it before. And so you see the power of the Lord, the power of the Spirit working in you.
Wow, it's the end of the show already.
We have more to talk about, too.
We may have to do at least one more show.
At least.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the power of the cross of Christ would bring you to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.